One of the things that God started showing me in the Bible about moms, which I found very interesting, is that there are unique attributes that only women have that are attributes of God. And there's some that men have that only men have that are attributes of God. And so there's these unique differences that come together. And I want to talk about what those are today. One of the things that I started looking at is I started looking at Genesis and the creation story. And if you go to Genesis 1, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Does everybody have a Bible? Okay. So what God did in Genesis 1 is very interesting to me. We refer to God as Heavenly Father. You hear Jesus call him Heavenly Father. Jesus is the Son. So you see this masculine image of God all throughout the Bible. But there's also certain characteristics of God that are more maternal than they are paternal, okay? And when I look at how I am versus how my wife is in certain areas, it's very clear to me how God made us that way. And when we come together, those things work together. And I started realizing that, okay, this is exactly the design for family, that the attributes of God come together in the parents, and they go to protect and raise godly children. So if you guys would turn to Genesis 1 and go to verse 26. Turn on a few more lights. Would somebody like to read verses 26 and 27? Okay.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. So if male and female are in the image of God, and yet there's so many distinct differences between a man and a woman, to me, it's like you don't have the whole picture in a single gender, if you will. God put certain attributes in women for a very specific reason and certain attributes in men for a very specific reason. I'm going to jump to Genesis 2 because this is a continuation of the story or another part of the detail. So in Genesis 2, 21 through 24, I'll go ahead and read this. "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh.'" That very last verse, 24, can be interpreted a number of different ways, and many people have tried to interpret it. And it's either referring to man and wife become like one person in a sense, in the flesh. It could refer to the child they bear as both of them together. It could mean a number of different things. There's ways or different interpretations of what that means.
Well, when you read it to me, it says to me that they become a partnership together as one.
It says a lot of things, right? But yeah, you're absolutely right, Roy. That is definitely an interpretation of it. They become a partnership. It's a God-ordained partnership. So then, going back to Genesis 1, would somebody read verse 28?
"God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moveth upon the ground.'"
All right. Thank you, Roy. So that is what we call the cultural mandate in the Bible. The most important thing about that verse, after he creates man and woman, he puts them together, the next thing he does is give them dominion over everything. But before that, go create, go multiply. Right?
And then have dominion over everything you create.
Okay. That's absolutely right. So that is the cultural mandate that we call it. Okay?
That's why there's rules for children, because God said to Adam and Eve, go create, and they've created families from that point on, and that's why there's a hierarchy in how things are done.
That's absolutely right, Roy. That's very good. So if God brings us together in this partnership, and he gives men certain attributes of God and women certain attributes of God, none of us are in the complete likeness of God, but we're in his likeness. We are image bearers of God. And then he says, go and create. Go multiply. Not create. I shouldn't use that word. Only God creates. Go multiply. It's very clear that this is the marriage in the Bible. The very first thing that God does with human beings is put them in this relationship to bear children. Okay? And then in Malachi 2:15, I'm just going to read this so you don't have to flip all of your Bible. Malachi 2:15, it says, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. Godly offspring. So there's this role by bringing the different attributes of God together in a partnership to raise children, there becomes this role of raising godly offspring. That's what God desires. There's several places in the Bible where God says that, to raise godly offspring. Now, to do that, there are some unique attributes that I want to talk about of God that are very clear in the Bible that I think are very much more dominant in women than men. And I think it's important for us to recognize those characteristics and how godly they are. Because women usually tend to have them and men usually don't, we have these differences and we don't understand. We pretend, we're like, yeah, I get it, but we don't. Okay, but they are godly attributes and we need to honor those things and we need to protect those things. We need to build those things up in our wives and our moms. All right, so the first one I want to talk about is God is very nurturing. He's nurturing. I'm going to flip to the New Testament now. And this is a topical message today, so it's all over the Bible. I apologize. But Matthew 6, verse 26. If you guys turn there. So the whole thing about nurturing is it's protecting, it's feeding, it's caring, it's growing, it's developing. That's what nurturing is. Do I have somebody who'd like to read Matthew 6:26? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather any, or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Thank you, Roxanne. So that is just one of many, many verses in the Bible where we see God is a nurturing God. He doesn't just spin creation into existence, get it on its course, and then walk away. He is a personal, loving God that wants to have a relationship with each person. And he nurtures. He provides. He protects, he feeds, he clothes, he takes care. In Psalm 104, 14, 15, it says, he makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. That's nurturing. God's provided in every case that you read about in the Bible. Very nurturing. Now, this attribute is very predominant in moms. Moms are made in God's image to be nurturing. They want to make sure their children are raised in a way where they're protected, they're fed, they're clothed. Anybody ever, excuse me, have their mom cut the crust off their sandwiches? Yeah, I see a lot of heads nod. That's nurturing, that's caring. That's a mom that wants to make sure their kids are getting the right diet, that they're eating. They make sure that they're going to school. You know, anybody ever here try to play sick and play hooky? My mom always knew better. She saw through that routine, and she made sure I was getting the education I should get. She pushed me. She cared for me. That's what moms do. Now, I'm not saying dads don't have some nurturing attributes. They do. Some of these are, some of these cross. Some guys have part of these attributes, but they are predominantly more visible and more obvious in women, and especially moms, the nurturing mom. And so, guys, yeah, we're somewhat nurturing, but I think all of the men in here would probably admit that moms are much more nurturing than any of us will ever be, right? That is a trait that we should cherish. It is a trait that we should encourage. It is a trait that we should embrace. It is a godly trait. It is a godly trait. The next one I want to talk about, and again, this is one that men and women both demonstrate, but I think women much greater than men. It is an attribute that God has given to women and moms especially, and that is compassion. Psalm 86:15 says this, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." God is a compassionate God. Slow to anger, he cares for his people. He doesn't want to destroy anybody, by the way. He wants you all to come to him and acknowledge his son as Savior. But he is filled with compassion. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, comes to earth and he demonstrates God's attributes to us in a living person. Jesus, when you think of him, one of the words that always came to my mind was compassionate. He had compassion. No matter where Jesus went, people were tugging at him, people were trying to get his attention, and he always demonstrated compassion. Just in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, there are four instances where he uses the word compassion for Jesus. I want to look at Matthew 9:36 first. Actually, we'll do 35 through 37. Somebody want to read Matthew 9:35 through 37? Any takers? Okay.
"And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few."
Thank you, Sandra. So here is a perfect picture of Jesus as he travels around. There's sick people, there's demon-possessed people, there's all this stuff going on around him. He's walking in a fallen world. What he created in the beginning was called good. He said it was good, everything was good. And now it is crumbled and it is diseased with this thing called sin. And Jesus walks amongst these sinners that are sick and diseased and without any type of leadership. And he has compassion for them. He doesn't say, "You sinner." He goes and he lays his hands on them. And he shows them this love that they've never seen before. And he speaks a word to them and they're healed. That's compassion. That's Jesus. In Matthew 14, we read about John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist was beheaded, and the news got to Christ. the men that followed John the Baptist, bring this news to Jesus. And Jesus is saddened by it. And so he gets in this boat and he tries to go away and spend some time in isolation. And in Matthew 14, 13 through 14, I'll go ahead and read this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Can you imagine? You just can't get away from people. They're just following you everywhere. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, instead of get away from me, I'm upset, don't bother me right now, it says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That's compassion. That is something that a mom demonstrates. You know, God created this world, and it's no wonder that we see that so clearly in women. God gave them that attribute. He said it was good when he gave it to women. You know, a mother's compassion can be seen on a day-to-day basis. Now, kids can test us, no question about it. Kids can test us. Fathers, on the other hand, when we take our kid to a sporting event or try to teach them to do something, they fall down and skin their knee. What do we say? Get up and rub some dirt on it, right? So obviously men haven't quite gotten the compassion attribute that women have been given graciously by God. Women will pick the child up, they'll give the child a hug, they'll wash the wound off, put a little Scooby-Doo Band-Aid on it, kiss it all better. You know, this is so clearly demonstrated in women. I've prayed and prayed that God would give me more compassion because I know there are times where I need it, especially as a pastor. And it's very evident to me that that is an area that women just excel in because God has blessed them with that. And I thank God for my wife who is so compassionate because she helps me to see things in a different light when I need to. You know, I have compassion, I love people, and I want to care for people, but not like a nurturing mom can do. It is another gift that God has bestowed upon you women, and is so necessary to raise godly children. And men, we ought to embrace that and help our wives grow in those areas and encourage them in those areas. The next attribute I want to talk about is sacrifice. It's a characteristic of God more than attribute. He is sacrificial. In Mark 10, verse 45, I'll read this unless you guys want to flip there. Mark 10, 45. It says this: For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is God coming from the highest throne of all, over all the universe, humbling himself and coming to serve mankind. That is sacrifice, folks. That is definitely sacrifice. Now, women, I have seen so much sacrifice that moms give. They give of themselves constantly. They're constantly doing things for their family, for their children, putting their life on hold, especially with youngsters when they're young. They put their careers on hold. They put life on hold. They deny themselves things that they would like to have in order to provide for those kids. They go without eating their favorite food in order to make the favorite food for the child. It's just constant, 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 and they're constantly giving of themselves. And we should just acknowledge that because it is such a thankless job. It is thankless. Jesus once said in John 16:21, When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I can't speak on a woman's behalf in this area. I've witnessed my children being born, and I know that it seemed very painful at the time. And I know it was. But the joy that comes when that child is born is something that's indescribable. Moms sacrifice. Motherhood is not an easy task. You know, I raised my girls for a big part of their life by myself. And being a single dad, I thought I sacrificed a lot until I met other women that were raising kids and saw how much they sacrificed. There's just something about that. God puts this in you, women, to just be willing to do that for your kids no matter what. And it's just not something that I've seen in myself the way I've seen in moms. Would you guys turn to Proverbs 31? I'm going to read this. This is one of my wife's favorite verses or books in the Bible. And yes, I'm reading my little readers because this thing is tiny. In Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, it talks about a wife of noble character. Beginning with verse 10, I'm going to read this. You guys can follow along. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servants' goods. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings, and she plants a vineyard. Okay, let's stop right there. That's some pretty big sacrifice to go and plant a vineyard. All through these verses, and I don't want to go through it because it's pretty lengthy, but I encourage you to read this. Mark this in your Bible. Read it. What he's describing there is what I've seen in most moms. Somebody that toils day and night. Somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes for their children. And there's something about that in moms that we just don't see in dads. Not that dads don't show parts of this, but women just give of themselves constantly. And it is one of the greatest attributes of God. God came to serve. And we need to appreciate that. And we need to be thankful to you women for all the sacrifices you make. The other thing is that God is a God of comfort. Again, if you look at the Bible, you can't walk away from the Bible and not realize that there's a personal God of the Bible that loves you, that comforts you during your trials. There's comfort in knowing that we have a sovereign God who's on our side. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem." That's a maternal trait that God demonstrates about himself and compares it to a mother. There is nothing like it. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." That is a very big attribute of God. And, you know, it goes back to what I was saying about men in the compassion area. You know, that's just not something that has been wired into us quite like it has in the moms, right? Get up, you'll be okay. It's not a lot of comfort in there. Go get a job, figure it out, you know. Women just have this way of being a shoulder. They have this way of taking a child under their wing, giving them a safe haven, letting them express how they want to express their feelings, talking to them in a way that the child or the individual can understand, and just being a support system. Women are great at that. Guys, we tend to be by ourselves in a lot of areas. We don't share a lot. We're very guarded. Moms, on the other hand, that's just a built-in thing that God has given them. Another way that women demonstrate this, when there's a woman that has a problem, another person, women are always the first ones to jump up and say, let's do something, let's help this person, let's give them some comfort through this difficult time. I've seen many of you in here be the first ones to do that, and I applaud you. It is an attribute that God has given you that isn't quite there in men as well as it is in you guys. We try. But there's just something about it that God has given women this incredible ability to comfort people in need. And I think this is the greatest attribute of all, the attribute of unconditional love. Unconditional love. It means you don't have to love me before I'm going to love you. It means I love you no matter what you do. Somebody want to turn to Romans 8 and read 38 through 39?
I'll get it.
Okay.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor weight, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Darren. That is an incredible testimony to the love of God. It's an endless love. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. God's love is so deep and so wide. And when I think of a mother, that's what I think of. This incredible love for their children, this incredible connection they have, this bond. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. That's unconditional love. That's very clear that you don't have to do anything to earn it. It's given to you. It's God's nature to love. John says God is love. It's his nature. That has been so preserved in the mom. God has poured that into the heart of moms in such a way. Now, I'm not saying guys don't love their children unconditionally as well, but I think it's different at times. There's something about a mom and that characteristic where God just pours this into them. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it's very well needed. We all have kids that are at times wayward, they're rebellious, but God just continues to pour this love into us to love our children. It is a godly trait. And this one trait binds all the others together. It binds them together. Now, I want to talk about a couple other things on this. I'm going to read a psalm to you, and we're almost done. Psalm 131, 1 through 2 says this. It's Psalm 131, 1 through 2. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. You see, all the different characteristics and attributes that I described that God has given to women, there's a maturity that has to take place. What that verse I just read described was somebody that's growing in Christ or maturing. Although we have these attributes, it doesn't mean that they're automatically just working perfectly in your life. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes we have to learn to mature in those areas. And I'll tell you this, that it is a lifelong process in many cases. What we want to see in our lives is progress, not perfection. There's only one perfect one. And when he comes back, he says he will make you perfect. But until then, we are walking in a dark, sinless or sinful world. And we struggle. We have struggles. So if there's any of these characteristics that I describe that aren't quite how you would describe yourself, it's okay. These things take time to grow and develop. Sometimes God chooses to not put something in a person for whatever reason it might be, but it's always for his good, for his glory, for his purpose. But the Bible also says in Luke 11:10, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In all things we go to God. In all things we seek him, we pray. We ask God to help us in these areas. Now, I don't know if you guys know my story. Some of you do. I think most of you do. I was adopted, 3 days old. I don't know who my biological parents are. Never really had a desire to find out. I considered the parents that raised me to be my parents, and they were godly, they were good. They were good parents. I was very fortunate. I could have ended up in a number of different situations. We all could. In those cases, I always thought about the mom that decided to give me up for adoption. And I struggled with that. I used to think, okay, they just didn't want me. I'm sure anybody that's been adopted probably has those thoughts. Didn't want me. I was going to be a burden to them. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And then as I grew and matured and started thinking more and more about it, I was thinking, poor her, poor her, poor her. She doesn't know what happened to me. I can imagine how hard that was for her to give up a child. I can imagine making a decision like that. I can imagine the things that must have gone through her head. And what I've always, or what I've recently come to think is, if I could just let her know I was okay. Not have a relationship, just tell her I'm okay, to give her that peace of mind. There is something about moms that we just don't understand. Sometimes mothers are not what you expect them to be. Sometimes they turn out not quite like the godly description we gave here. And there's many fathers that fall in that camp too. I don't know where you guys are in your walk with Christ or where you are in your relationship with your mom or where you are as a mom. Some of you may have mothers that have abandoned you. I felt abandoned for a long time because of my adoption situation, and that was wrong of me because I wasn't abandoned. I was placed in the care of somebody that could give me much greater, a greater life than the woman that gave birth to me. My children grew up with their mother running away when my youngest was 9 months old. And so they've gone through life without a mom. There are some that are just diseased. There are some that don't know how to be a mom. They grew up in a household where moms were just non-existent. They didn't function. They were focused on themselves. They were focused on other things, but not the kids. They didn't really want to be a mom. There are situations like that. There are situations where moms don't have another mom to learn from. And so they feel like they're on their own. I got to figure this out on my own. Talk about my kids are scared to death to be parents. They're horrified. They didn't have a mother role model to teach them. Here's the thing to remember. That all those characteristics I described about God that are in moms, they're also still in God. God is a source for those that have felt abandoned or have been abandoned or in a strained relationship with your mom. He's not abandoned you. He is there to comfort you. His love is still there for you. It endures forever. You can do nothing wrong to separate you from the love of God. His compassion is there for you. Is everything about God, the nurturing, those characteristics are in God as well as moms. If you're one that is struggling today with an abandoned situation or a mom that you have a strained relationship with or one that might have been abusive to you or whatever the case might be, God can be that for you. God can be the comforter. He can be the healer. He can be the one that breaks these chains and stops this from going on any further. So too often I see people that say, I was brought up this way, I lived this life, I'm just going to continue repeating this cycle for the rest of the generations to come. And you can be the one to stop it today and stop this cycle of bad parenting, of bad relationships, of whatever it might be. And break those chains. You can either, what I heard Matt Ford say, be the blessing or be the curse. It's your choice. So going forward, if you are wanting to be the better parent, if you're wanting to be a better mom than what you grew up with, you have that choice. Just because your mom was a certain way doesn't mean you're going to be that way too. You have God on your side. You pray to God. You ask Him to help you in these areas. You listen to instruction from godly women that have raised children and be willing to learn how to change this pattern. You know, all through the Bible, you read about things like generational curses. Because I was this way, my kids are going to be this way. Well, number one, stop speaking that. Don't speak that anymore over your family. From this day forward, my family's going to be different. I break every curse in the name of Jesus. No curse will come against me. And you quit saying that, because when you continue saying that stuff, you're going to start to believe it. When you curse your kids, say, you're just like this person, you're just like that person, it's bad. Don't do it. Speak blessings into their life. That's what I've done with my daughters. You're going to be a great mom someday. I've prayed over those curses in their life. I've prayed over their fears of being failed moms. And I never say, you're going to be just like your mother. I would never say that to them. I would say, you are going to be a godly woman someday, and you're going to raise godly kids. And that's my prayer for them all the time. You know, we have to make that choice. When does it end? When does it end? Those that are mothers here today, I just want to thank you. I know you guys don't get a lot of appreciation in what you do. We don't always recognize it. I know what it's like to be a single mom. I was a single mom. I literally was. My kids called me mom too many times. It is a tough, tough, tough job. And you don't get any rewards for it other than when your kid graduates or goes to that place, their goals that you have for them, when you see that happen. It is a long, long, hard process. A lot of discipline, a lot of conflict, a lot of decisions made by your children that you aren't happy with. You continue to love them. You continue to be there for them. You continue to nurture them. With those attributes of God in your life, you are to reflect God to your children. Remember, God's desire is to bring up godly offspring.